Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Pastor John, back from a week of vacay and bringing you the worship service this day of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. As always, we open this day with a prelude from Helen Ely, our church organist. Please pray with me. On this mid-July Sunday, gather us, Lord, in spirit and in truth, as we worship you together as a radio audience congregation. Open our minds, our hearts, and our souls to your word and your message for us this day. Amen. Both our praise team and choir are enjoying some much-needed time off during the month of July and into the first week of August. During that time, our organist, Helen Ely, has arranged for some outside groups to come and lead us in worship. We are calling this our Summer Worship Music Series, and this week we begin with a local Springfield group known as Heavenly Harmony. They begin our worship service today by bringing us a song many learned in Sunday school. However, this version, arranged by Neil A. Johnson, has a much different approach. Please join them in This Little Light of Mine. Scripture for today jumps a bit, beginning with Mark 6 and reading verses 45 and 46, and then jumping to Mark 6, 53 through 56. Please listen to the words from God. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountaintop to pray. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got off the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all of those who touched were healed. May God bless this reading of God's word for us this day. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which is on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Well, I'm back this week, and I thank Pastor Joel for filling in for me last week so Jackie and I could travel to the great state of Texas. Jackie, you know, is from Waco, and about every year she needs to step foot on the motherland soil. We couldn't go last year because of COVID, so we went this year to Waco, Austin, and San Antonio. Now, vacations are hard for me. How many of you have a hard time taking a vacation? We all want a vacation, we all need a vacation, but do you have trouble finding the time to go? Do you have trouble leaving work back at the office when you go on vacation? Do you feel like your vacation is one for recharging, or it's simply draining you? I find all the work before I leave on vacation is draining, which sometimes doesn't really allow me to have a vacation that's very recharging. Futurist and author Faith Popcorn claims that compared to the rest of the world, Americans suffer from a condition called vacation starvation. The average employee of a large business gets about 2, maybe 3 weeks of vacation a year. The average employee of a small business, which is the majority of Americans, get about 8 days off each year. In Europe and in Australia, the average employee gets 4 to 6 weeks of paid vacation each year. Some of us I know are wondering, what in the world would you do with that much time off? Of course, just because you set aside the time to take time off for a vacation, you can't guarantee that it will be as stress-free as you thought it might be. There was a woman named Julie Lynch from Ithaca, New York, and she wrote to Reader's Digest about an incident that happened on their family vacation in California. Her family was visiting the Getty Museum in California when her 10-year-old son Nick complained of being tired. Lynch told him to find a place to sit down. Moments later, an alarm sounded throughout the museum, and security guards were sprinting throughout all the building to this unseen threat. This unseen threat turned out to be Lynch's son, Nick, who had chosen a priceless Louis XIV chair in one of the exhibits as a perfect place to find rest. Be careful, I guess, giving instructions to your children, especially when they're in a museum of priceless objects. Another woman called Christina Bites wrote to Budget Travel Magazine to tell about their honeymoon with a bunch of unexpected guests. Bites' in-laws offered to pay for her and her husband's honeymoon. After they accepted this generous gift, the in-laws informed them that the honeymoon would be in Disney World, and they would be accompanied by their in-laws, the mother-in-law's two best friends, the best friend's three children, a sister-in-law, and her husband. On the trip, Beats wrote, "I can't say a lot of honeymooning went on." I'll just leave it at that. It's tough when you really need to get a little rest and relaxation, and you just can't get away for it. Jesus and his disciples knew exactly what that was like. The disciples had just returned from their first solo mission, which was very successful. They had much to tell Jesus about their experiences, but Jesus could tell that their exertions had worn them out, and so they needed some time off for rest and solitude. So he suggested, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while. So Jesus and his disciples sailed off to get time alone away from the crowds. Perhaps they were looking forward to bringing some time together to talk about their experiences, a time of sharing. Jesus would not make it very well as a CEO in the modern business world today. Most of the mantra of business leaders is to just keep grinding it out. Work 7 days a week. Never stop pushing. But Jesus believed in living in a balance of your life, and you would balance work, rest, worship, time spent with friends. After his disciples' first successful foray into ministry, Jesus didn't have a strategy meeting to try to figure out their next move. Instead, he tried to take them away from the crowds on a bit of a vacation so they could get the rest. But this was one vacation that just wasn't going to happen. Even while they were there, still aboard a boat, the people on the shore recognized who they were, and word spread quickly that they were in town. The word spread so quickly that, in fact, by the time Jesus and his disciples had disembarked, there was already a considerable crowd gathering. Now, I'm not sure that most of us have experienced what it's like to have your vacation interrupted. It's very frustrating. And I'm sure that when the disciples saw the crowd waiting for them on the shore, their hearts sank. They probably felt like a lot of modern celebrities who have to beg reporters to leave them alone for just a day or two. But Jesus didn't seem to be annoyed. He took it all in stride. In fact, he stayed there with the crowd and taught them. Maybe he knew why the crowd was there to see him. Let's try to take a look at this from the point of view of the crowd for a moment. Let's focus, first of all, on the crowd's hunger. There was something about Jesus that made people want to be near him. There was something missing in their lives that they couldn't obtain through their own day-to-day living. They were looking for something better, and they sensed that Jesus held the key to what they needed. They were hungry for what he had to offer. Do you know someone who hungers like that? Do you know someone who's stumbling through life looking for the road of happiness, but they're looking in the wrong places? Do you know someone who's hungering for what Jesus alone has to offer? Someone who longs for what we already have discovered in our lives? Danny Sugerman was the manager of a 60s rock group called The Doors. He had great insight into our human hunger. He said, "From the time we can speak, we are bombarded with the message that we alone are not enough. Take this, buy this, have this, feel better, stronger, safer, sexier, more desirable, more secure, more powerful. And none of it works because we're looking in the wrong place." If the manager of a successful rock band can diagnose our problem, surely we can. If you're searching for the right place or the right way to fill the emptiness inside of you anywhere but in Jesus, then you're looking to be disappointed. But when you bring your hunger to the right person, to Jesus, he can fill your need for a sense of purpose and peace and wholeness and joy. Jesus understood the hunger of the crowds in his day, and he understands the hunger we feel today. But there's something else we need to see. Jesus was filled with compassion for the crowd who was hungering for what he alone could provide. When we look at people crowding around him, and we see how he viewed them. He viewed them as sheep without a shepherd. In John's gospel, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the good shepherd." That may not be a way to make sense to us unless we're actually in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus told the story about a shepherd who was tending a large flock of sheep, and one sheep was missing. Jesus then said the shepherd would diligently search until just that one sheep was found. There's an old story about a wise monk who answered every question with another question. One day, a visiting monk came to him and said, "I'm on retreat, and I was wondering, could you give me a question to ponder?" The monk thought briefly and responded, "My question for you is, what do they need?" The colleague went away disappointed, and a few moments later, for clarification, he said, "Perhaps I didn't make myself clear. I'm here to work on my own spiritual life, not to reflect upon my calling with others. Could you possibly give me a question to ponder along these lines?" The monk responded, "Oh, well, in that case, the question would be, what do they really need?" See, the idea is that part of taking time off is to ponder what others might need, because in doing so, you will discover what you need. Jesus is the source of what we really need for our lives to be recharged. Jesus also has compassion on our needs as well. Back in 1976, Hamilton Whaley was a partner in a prominent law firm in Tampa, Florida. He was happily married, he was a proud father, and had five kids. He and his wife, Betty, were wealthy and successful and very comfortable, until the day Hamilton Whaley was injured in a car accident. Now, he wasn't seriously injured, and his injuries were rather slight, so it kind of seemed funny at first when people began calling Betty Whaley to express their condolences over her husband's death. Was this some kind of a joke? Well, not according to the Hillsborough County Bar Association bulletin. You see, after his minor car accident, an editor from the Bar Association bulletin had accidentally published his obituary. And after Whaley read the obituary, he didn't think it was too funny anymore. He really began to think about his legacy. What was his purpose in life? Would anyone be better off because he had lived? Hamilton Whaley developed a single hunger to know that he was living the life that God had made for him. That hunger eventually led Hamilton to give up his successful law practice. And so he and Betty and their teenage son David became house parents at the Bethesda Home for Boys in Savannah, Georgia, one of the oldest orphanages in the United States. They were put in charge of one of several cottages. It was in following the example of Jesus that Hamilton Whaley and his family found the answer to their hunger. As he says it, "Now I'm where God wants me to be in life." And it began, instead of an ending, with my obituary. Jesus came to show you the life God created for you. And Jesus extends his love and compassion for all of us when we're busy working hard, or when we're trying to find moments of rest and reflection. So take a vacation often. Not to get away from work, but to spend time with Jesus so you can truly be recharged. Amen and amen. Welcome back to Heavenly Harmony Singers as they bring us a song written by Jerome Davis and arranged by John Levitt called On Holy Ground.
Thank you.
listening to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church. We bring you this radio worship service every Sunday on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. We're located next to Enos Park on North 7th and Bergen. Our regular worship takes place each Sunday at 10 a.m. So if you have a chance to join us for in-person worship, come and see us on Sunday. Please join me this morning in our morning prayer. Holy God, even in your created order, you worked for 6 days and called upon the seventh to be a day of rest. In our busy world today, not only are we finding the traditional day of Sunday no longer a day of rest, but people seem to work two or more jobs, and often 7 days a week with little rest. And yet part of that time of rest is in giving us a chance to reflect on the importance you are in our lives and a chance to praise and worship you. Lord, help people find these moments of rest. And in these moments, speak to them in the quietness and stillness of the moment so they can be refreshed and renewed in their journey of faith. We thank you, Lord, for all those who join us each week in this worship service and those who come to our in-person worship. And we also thank you, Lord, for all the churches in our area that are working to fulfill the Great Commission and to provide support in a variety of ways for those in need in our area. Now, Lord, give us a good week, filled with exciting opportunities, busy with accomplishments, lots of energy, but also give us moments of rest. In the name of Jesus, who is the Lord and Savior of the day of rest, we pray. Amen. We send you out this morning with one final song from the Heavenly Harmony. It was written by Stephen Adams and arranged by a very well-known choral person, Mosey Lister. The song is titled, All Because of God's Amazing Grace. Please be blessed by their music and the melody this day. Send us out today with a blessing for each moment of each day, whether that moment is full of work or an opportunity to find rest. Send us out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for joining us for this worship. We thank, as always, Helen Ely, our guest, our organist, for not only providing us with a prelude and a postlude, but for also arranging the Heavenly Harmony singers. Thanks to our music director, Jeff Prince. We thank our AV team of Scott, Braden, Faith, Seth, Taquan, and Jasmine. And let's not forget Matt Miller, who does all of our post-production work. Have a blessed week. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor at TPC. Go, and please remember to stay safe out there.